playing a game called High Low. All you have to do is you have to tell me the three most expensive ones. The three most expensive ones. Would you like to hear about them first?
Sure.
All right, Rich, tell us about it.
On ESPN 1000, it's Andrew and Hanley. And Brian, you were the conscientious one this morning as I'm scrambling to put a High Low together. You're like, I got one. I think you dream of this stuff in your sleep, and you get up and you have a notepad on your nightstand, right, like songwriters do, and you just jot ideas down.
Well, you know, when I'm watching, these baseball games, and first of all, the over/under in most playoff games this season, FanDuel, I look on my app every time, it's right around 7, right? Occasionally you'll get a 7.5 total runs or 6.5, but it's postseason baseball. We're expecting 3-2. 4-3, 5-0 in the game last night. You're not expecting 10-6, and that's what you got with the Phillies in San Diego last night. It was just crazy, right?
Right.
So my first high-low for you, Mr. Zander, is the Phillies gave up 4 runs in the first inning to San Diego. Top of the, you know, right out of the gate, San Diego first up, they put a 4-spot crooked number on the board. Probably feeling pretty good about it. I would guess the win probability was in the high 90s of that, 90% for San Diego. Of course, they didn't win. So high, low, I'll set the number at 5. In the history of baseball, how many teams have come back from a 4-run deficit in the first inning to win a playoff game?
You set the number at 5.
Yeah.
The history of baseball.
All baseball. A lot of baseball.
Yeah, a lot of baseball, a lot of years.
Yep, a lot of games.
I would say that, my friend, is low.
It is high. Only two times prior to...
Only two times?
Prior to last night. So that was the third time in the history of the game. Only two times in baseball history has a team come back to win a game after allowing 4 or more runs in the top of the first inning in a postseason game. It was the Yankees over the Indians in Game 1 of 1997 ALDS. And you'll remember this one, I'm sure, the Pirates over the Senators in Game 7 of the 1925 World Series.
Oh, yeah, that was exciting. That was exciting. Listen,
I go back
radio.
And rewatch that on
my
occasion.
My big console radio that looked like a building.
Where they had the guy in the studio doing the sound effects.
Yes, yeah, the Foley artist, yes.
Yeah, he would take two pieces of wood. That's a drive, way back. And as he's reading the Western Union ticker tape, as he's calling the game, because he's not there.
You don't have too many Foley artists in radio anymore.
No, it's a lost art. But, you know, occasionally when our Comrex goes down, it feels that way. But think about that. That's how crazy this Phillies team has been. And I'm going to put a little money on them today to win the World Series, just because it seems like it's their year. And I know how
and
good.
I get where you're coming from. I'm still stuck on the Astros because.
And you said it earlier in the show.
Altuve.
Without Altuve.
He just got his first hit yesterday.
And they're steamrolling.
Right.
Okay.
If
so
that means he's getting hot, well, they're steamrolling extra.
Yeah. Well, that's what the White Sox kept telling us. Once they start hitting, everything's going to be okay. But it's okay for him when he's not hitting, so I guess it might be okay.
All right, I'm going to take my high-low away from sports. 'Tis the season. Halloween's coming up.
I thought it was Christmas already.
Yeah, well, you know, some stores would make you think so. That's why I stay out of stores.
Yeah, right.
So I am going to set the number here at 11. 'Tis the season with the candy being bought and everything. By the way, there is a candy shortage. Of course, right? A shortage
really?
Of everything. Yeah, I'm not too concerned.
Supply chain?
Yeah, sure. And they're stuck in a barge, you know, out in the ocean somewhere.
Kids, I'd love to give you something, but you got to go to the
You're going to have to wait for the barge to come into Long Beach, and then it's shipped here. Yeah. All right, so number of pieces of candy corn I have ingested this year so far. The number is at 11, Brian.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know you were counting, and it would scare me if there was in the hundreds.
Just 11. That's the number.
11. And so are you getting you got the Halloween-sized bags, the mini bags?
I can't divulge that. I can't divulge that.
I'm going to say that is low.
That is high, Brian. I don't eat that stuff.
Zero.
No, zero, zero, zero.
I
don't have little kids around the house anymore. No, the candy corn. I don't have little kids around the house anymore, so I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. Every year when I would go to the Jewels to get my Halloween candy to give out, it seemed like every year, the last 5-6 years, I had to increase it by like 5 bags because 8:30 at night, the doorbell's still ringing, and I'm down to...
You're not doing the self-serve thing, right, where you leave a bowl out and you get the bowl stolen?
No, because that's gone at about 4:05 in the evening. No, but I was up, I think I was up to like 30 bags.
What?
And yeah, I mean, neighborhood is just nuts. I mean, it just... They eat candy corn and all the other crap. And I kind of pride myself into, even though I I go there and look and spend some time, like, what's the newest thing the kids want? You know, it's just
because I like you doing the research and everything.
Well, I mean, I just stand in the aisle like a dope looking at everything. I'm like, I like the old Hershey bars, plain chocolate. You know, I could live on that, or Reese's peanut butter cups. But, you know, there's a...
You're doing perceptual studies and demographic analytics to see what the kids want.
Yeah, there's a test kitchen involved. And, but, yeah, so, I mean, there's the glow-in-the-dark sucker or whatever. I mean, it's not just candy corn anymore, Mr. Zander. So,
well, thank you.
I don't want to be the guy on the block who just, you know, runs out of candy. One, that's the worst sin you can commit. But, two, you know, give them stuff.
Well, because they'll remember your address.
Oh, you know, yeah, then here come the eggs.
Turn off your porch light, it's over.
Oh, yeah. And
we're tossing eggs.
Well, yeah, and then the porch light goes off, and some people on the block would put up signs, all out of candy. Don't be that guy. Up your candy game
up your
and
game.
Increase.
No, that's true.
Increase, and then some years, you know, I'm out of candy. Here's a quarter. You know, how many quarters do I have in the big coin dish, right? Because you don't want to go empty-handed, but... I mean, I went from like 15 bags to over 30 in the course of 3 years.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. You're up.
Okay. Your Astros are having a fine time against the hated Yankees. The Bronx Bombers, anything but right now in this series. And they're about to be going home a lot sooner than anyone would have thought back the way they were steamrolling in the middle of the season. 205, the batting average for the New York Yankees collectively in this series against Houston. The team is batting 205. Is that high or low?
I would say that's high, Brian.
You are absolutely correct. They are batting, and I know it's an old school stat, but they stink whether you go new gen stats or old stats.
Right. I mean, it's
128.
128.
128. Wow. I mean,
the Astros can pitch, but boy, the Yankees are not helping themselves at all. I mean, that's you're not going to get that done. LeMahieu is sitting now. There's one of the consistent hitters for the Yankees. They don't have him. They're missing some players, but they have people on the field to get it done, and they're not.
They almost went six innings of shutout. You know, they did get shot last night, but I mean, they don't even have the good intention. 13 strikeouts in 16 innings. I mean, they're not even putting the bat on the ball. Aaron Judge, again, it's going to be interesting because the Yankees fans are done with him. What have you done for me lately? He's 5-for-32 with 14 strikeouts in the playoffs, not just against Houston, but to this point. And I don't know. They're all of a sudden everyone's blaming him for
their
woes.
So I guess the fans would rather have a World Series championship than him holding a record. Which I kind of get, but you can't do that to him. Look, how many other teams would gladly welcome Aaron Judge?
Well, that's is he a slam dunk to go back to the Yankees because they're going to pony up the most money, or if the money's equal, will he want the way?
Yeah, you brought that up last week, I don't know. Maybe he wants to be in New York and he can turn a blind eye to all of that. But I don't know.
Or is he going to say, "Okay, you've
had enough
me.
Of this.
You're booing me," and he's first to admit he's not doing his job. But if the money's equal, maybe he takes his talent somewhere else.
It seems like the Yankees wouldn't let him go, but they may not have that ability to keep him.
And if they get swept, I think. You know, he starts to question his mind. Like it, it's a little little teeter totter there. Maybe if they get swept.
Maybe. All right, I've got one more, and then you can wrap it up with yours.
Okay.
Tis the season again, but this isn't about Halloween. I see political signs everywhere. We all do, right?
Okay. I'm getting them on my phone. Today I got like three of them, this random, hey, you know, are you voting for fill in the blank? I'm like, how'd you get my phone number?
Oh, it's so aggravating. So aggravating. Well, I thought you meant you were actually getting the signs on your phone, which would be even more aggravating.
No. Okay. Whenever in the city,
you know, the people signs with the stars and the stripes and all this kind of stuff.
People,
you know?
People in the city, I mean, these campaign workers, they knock on your door. Hey, can you put a sign in your window? No. That'd be the quick answer. Don't knock on my door again.
You got to put the sign on the door. I'm out of candy, and I'm not putting your sign in my window.
Yeah, all right. And stop texting me.
Number of political signs I see in my drive-in.
Oh, my good Lord.
The number is at 997. Is that high or low?
That's low. That's just the Ohio feeder rank.
Yeah. 1,576, and I lost count.
I mean, all along the highway, right? I mean, some guy's pulling over.
He was that was low.
Yeah. Who gets out of their car at the interchange and, you know, vote for this judge? And I love that because I actually go to the Chicago Bar Association and see who they recommend, because why we're voting for judges and you have no idea who they are.
Right. You end up voting for, it seems like I like his name.
Yeah, they all try to go with the Irish name in Chicago. They actually change their name legally to, you know, Pat, Pat O'Brien Sullivan.
That'll get you. Yeah, that'll get you elected. All right, you got the last one here.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that the Houston Astros have not yet lost in the postseason. Correct? They are 6-0, and headed to the World Series. And my question is: seven teams have had longer win streaks in the postseason without a loss than the Houston Astros. Is that high or low?
That would seem low.
That is high.
That is high. Okay.
The 2014 Royals they won 8 consecutive games, and guess what? They lost in the World Series. So they had a win streak of 8 games. The 2020 Braves had a 7-game win streak. They lost in the NLCS. I see a pattern here, which makes me want to bet the Phillies even more. The 2007 Rockies had 7-game win streak. They lost in the World Series, right?
Yep.
The 1976 Reds, 7-game win streak. Ooh, here's one. They won the World Series.
They did.
So, and now here come your Astros at a 6-game win streak. So they're in a rarefied air, but just because the things are going well right now, a lot of teams that have gone ahead and had the win streak to open up the playoffs, yeah. They got to the World Series and they didn't hoist the trophy. No champagne for that.
Well, I see why you're backing the Phillies on that one. I still think the Astros have some unrealized potential in Altuve hitting now. Maybe some of the other players will cool off. That's if he hits more. He got his first hit yesterday, but you would think that hopefully that breaks the ice. Their pitching is still solid, so we'll see. We'll see for sure. All right,
it's been great. I mean, it's been a great October.
It has been. And if you're a baseball fan and you're not watching the playoffs because neither one of your home teams are in there, you should watch them because it has been great. The Padres are a complete surprise. Astros are not a surprise. The Yankees are a surprise in the other way, you know, to where they are just not playing. And the Phillies are a good surprise, too. So. All right, we're going to come back and talk a little more baseball. I want to talk about managers and how much they mean to their teams and talk about the Phillies and how maybe that might have changed things for the Southsiders. Maybe, maybe not. Never really able to tell at this point, but it's fun to talk about. We'll do that after this here on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000 in the Old National Bank Studio. It's a sunny Sunday morning here till noon. And I want to bring up baseball. We were just talking about baseball in high-low, Brian. Rob Thompson, not a household name by any stretch of the means. Certainly Joe Girardi is more so here in Chicago because of his history with the Cubs, right? You would agree on that.
Yeah, local kid, Peoria. I mean, you know.
Yep. And
was going to be the Cubs manager at some point, and people were hoping that was going to be the case.
Never happened. He ran the Yankees for a while, and he was the manager to start this baseball season with the Philadelphia Phillies. June 22nd. The Phillies were at 22-29. Was Bryce Harper hurt at that point? Was he hurt earlier
so.
In the season?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, he absolutely was. Because remember, I kept saying, we were talking about all the White Sox injuries. I'm like, I don't see any Bryce Harper on their injured list.
Yes, you know? That's exactly right. So you had Bryce Harper that wasn't on the team, and they were at 22-29, and ownership pulled the plug, and they said, that's it, Joe, you're gone, and replaced him with Rob Thompson. Now, Thompson, I should say, no PNR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And look what's happened. We're talking about the Phillies. You're going to put some money on the Phillies to win the World Series. So that obviously was a change for the better. Why did that work? And we want to take your opinions. 312-332-3776. Did he have the right team that was just unmotivated by Joe? Did Joe have the wrong approach? How did that work, and would a change on the South Side back in June, would that have jump-started our team? Now, obviously, the teams are not equal. We don't have a Bryce Harper. We don't even have a Kyle Schwarber. It's two different teams. But would it have made a difference?
Well, the division certainly was there for the taking. I mean, it wasn't the toughest division in baseball by any stretch, right?
So, well, as advertised in the beginning, the Twins were pretty tough, and then they got hit by the injury bug. I mean, Buxton's a Sox killer. And then the Guardians came out of nowhere. I mean,
right,
on paper, they should not have been as good as they were.
If you launched Tony La Russa when the situation was screaming that the manager gets fired, whether you believe that managers impact anything or not, it's just what happens in baseball. You have to change something, and the easy thing to do, and it's been done forever, is to launch the manager, right?
And there are a lot of people that don't agree with that. They think that is not what you should do. The managers don't have that much influence.
Well,
I don't
agree
with that.
I'm with you. That they set a culture, they set a tone. Now, Joe Girardi's old school. Is he a red? Got the red rear end going, and was he wearing his welcome out in the clubhouse? And yet we sat there, you and I, and were in agreement that Tony La Russa was going the other way and trying to throw an arm around guys when they maybe should have needed a boot up the butt to get moving.
And by June, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, Jerry Reinsdorf, the man who's got all the power, had hired him without Rickon or maybe even Kenny Williams saying that's a good thing to do. And he wasn't going anywhere until the unforeseen health issues popped up, and he took went away because doctors told him it's too stressful.
Right,
but you're right, Rob Thompson. Everything the guy's done, all of a sudden everyone's hitting. Rhys Hoskins is showing up in the postseason after he's been getting booed all year. The fact that he started Bailey Falter yesterday and. Guy hadn't pitched since October 5th, and he was trying to get three innings out of him, and next thing you know, there's a four spot up there, and he doesn't last an inning, and they find a way to win that game. I mean, and everyone in the dugout is
decisively win that game.
They're all chanting 27 outs. I mean, there's that culture, that message, that the buy-in, that these guys all believe that even down 4-0, they had plenty of time to come back, and guess what? Third time in history, they did it.
And up until this year, Girardi wasn't really a liability in Philadelphia, right?
Apparently not, no. But
that's a quick, decisive change. They saw what was happening, and they decided to put a stop to it and try to save the season. In June,
yep.
When there was plenty of baseball left to play. And you could have had the argument of, well, there's plenty of baseball left to play. This is Joe. He's leading the team. There's a chance to turn it around. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're pulling the plug now, and we're moving on.
And we even saw it when Tony stepped aside. you've got a 2 week boost, and that normally happens. You know, when a in season managerial change is made, you get some sort of bump, and maybe there's a win streak that ensues. But to see
but that
what
was
the,
almost too
the,
late, right?
Well, absolutely was. Yeah. I'm totally with you on this.
Yeah.
I tweeted at one point after what game, I was like, this is like the sixth game. If I was Rick Hahn and I actually had the authority to do it, I'd be sitting in Tony's office waiting for him to show up after the game to tell him his services are no longer needed. That there were that many games where you just say, okay, June, enough, got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You're still here in July. Here's another one. You know, you walked him with one and two count, and you put him on base? Got to go. I mean, how many times do we see a game go the wrong way or a decision that was just a head scratch?
Way too many times. Way too many
Absolutely.
Times. And it happened early. And again, I go back to June 3rd. You have 2 months of baseball, a little more than 2 months of baseball in the books, plenty of the season to play yet. And they pulled the plug on Joe Girardi, who it's not like he was the first time manager.
No,
he's a
World Series. He's a World Series.
That's right. That's right.
Manager.
Exactly. So they had the foresight to say, we're going to put an end to this now and we are going to move forward. Now, maybe they knew something that we didn't know, that Rob Thomson was a lock. He was the best possible situation. From a household name point, we had no idea really who he was. He was interim up until October 10th.
It could be dumb luck that things have worked out for him. But mm-hmm. but the thing is, they did what was the situation called for and what's been done in baseball forever. They made a change.
And it was a tough choice, I'm sure. But they made a change when they had to. They did not drag their feet. They did not take the time to say, look, there is time to turn it around.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Rob Thomson said after the game last night, he said, I've had so much good fortune, I make sure that I don't get hit by a bus when I cross the street. This is a big-time game. They came through. He realizes how things have all fallen into place for him since he took over. And it good fortune, good luck, I mean, that's part of it. Good players, that's certainly part of it. When you got guys like Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber's having a postseason to remember, and Rhys Hoskins woke up from whatever he was doing during the regular season. And the bullpen's been really good, really, really good. All that stuff falls into place. But the fact is, to your point, they made a change when the situation absolutely said, you can't allow this. You're seven games under 500 this early. You can't wait another month to see where you're at. You got to go now.
Because it's too late. And Miguel Cairo, and we talked about how the situation here in Chicago on the South Side, it was all about Tony La Russa. And the only way he was not going to continue would be if he took himself out. Now, doctors took him out.
Right.
But that ultimately, that was on his side. It wasn't Jerry saying you're fired, or it wasn't Rick Hahn or Kenny Williams saying you're fired. So
Tony was never going to be fired. And he said when he was being questioned about it on a regular basis, if I think that they've tuned me out or they're not listening to me or, that all of a sudden the players aren't behind me, I would walk away. So we all sat there and said, okay.
When is this going to happen? When is he going
and would
to
he
see
do
this?
Would he actually do it? Right. Would he follow up on his words? Because it looked like the players weren't responding to him. And things weren't happening. And yet he was still there until the doctors told him it's time. You can't keep doing this. You're going to be in real serious trouble here if you continue on.
Just imagine if it were June 3rd, around the time that Girardi got the boot, that Tony said, you know what? They're not listening to me. I've got some health concerns, because I would assume that he was dealing with some of that even early on in the season. I'm going to step aside. And Miguel Cairo took over at the beginning of June.
Or you imagine
that made a very obvious difference.
Well, imagine if he actually had an owner who allowed his front office people, Rick Hahn, ostensibly the general manager, make the call. Even though he wasn't allowed to make the call on the hiring, but I was told he was never going to be fired, and that you and I had a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice, not once, twice. Right. Those were the odds of Tony. He wasn't getting fired, so Rick Hahn had to sit there and bite his tongue and disappear and not be out in front of the microphones and just let this thing play out.
Hard to do your job when somebody doesn't let you do your job. I mean, that's the way it looks from here, right?
Amen. And at some point, I said, if I was Rick Hahn, I'd wake up one day and
say,
there's
got to be another gig out there somewhere. where he has a little more
influence. Yeah, I mean, the money's nice. The title's nice. There's only a handful of these jobs out there. And
is he a hometown guy, too, Rick?
I believe so, yeah. He's got like 8 diplomas. I mean, Northwestern, Stanford. I think he's a North Suburban guy. I'd have to check that, but...
Well, so there are plenty of reasons why you would want to stay, but right. It was obvious it wasn't his choice. You know, and again, this is just a bit of pointless conjecture, but the idea of Miguel Cairo getting that team in June might have made enough of a difference. Enough of a difference.
Because he started talking about accountability. Right away.
And that's I can't imagine any fan saying that doesn't matter.
And who knows if they go and do what the Phillies are doing. But it's just
not even that much, just a little bit.
But it's just
they could have won the division.
Exactly.
That's my point.
Us coming in and seeing good baseball on the South Side, right? Not the train wreck that happened at the end. And we're just dragging
it was
along.
A little
to the
too
end of
little,
the
a little too late with Miguel taking it over when he did.
One thing you didn't see was Lauri Garcia in the lineup.
That is called addition by subtraction.
Exactly.
If he didn't play as much, I mean, he didn't get a whiff of any playing time in the last month.
No, but the just little things like that. That mm-hmm. Miguel had obviously sat there and said, "Why are we doing this again?" I mean, he might have said it to himself, but. You know, here comes Tony. Everyone loves Lurie. We got to have him in the lineup for no apparent reason.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think too, it's such an important lesson now that we look back on it because we can't go down this road again, right? With this franchise.
Nope.
I feel like we hit rock bottom.
I feel like that. I'm not sure Jerry feels like that.
But like the front office of the White Sox should look at what the Phillies did, and next time they're in that same situation, you're at crossroads, which way am I going to go? You better consider that other situation harder.
Yep, it's all about timing.
Or feel free to actually go out and put together a roster with much more talent and actually win more than 3 playoff games in the last 30 years or wherever it's been. It's brutal.
Well, you know, the next manager that they hire has got to be the one that sticks. And it can't be, you know, I don't want Ozzy, to be honest with you. And I know we're up against break. I don't want Ozzy. I love Ozzy. Thank you, Ozzy, for what you did for the 05. Thank you for playing as hard as you and as well as you did for my 80s White Sox. And taking them to the World Series in 2005, I don't want to move back anymore with any old players or whatever. Joe Espada, that sounds great to me. Let's move ahead.
Well, we'll find out soon enough, I suppose.
Yep. 312-332-3776.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Thome, your new manager.
Yeah,
hold up the jersey.
Yeah,
put
that's
the jersey on,
again.
Jim.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, Jim. I'm sure you'd be fine, but I want somebody established from a winning organization. I think that came out of Rick Hahn's mouth. So we'll hold them to it. All right, we'll come back. We're doing the Postman. We are reading the New York Post, so you don't have to. And there's always so much to read in that rag. We'll do that after we come back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Before we get to the Postman segment, we've got a couple of calls. I guess we lit the town on fire just a little bit talking about the White Sox. Let's go to Al from Portage Park. Hey, Al, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, so, you know, we had spoken a few times over the summer during the Sox season. You know, the Sox had so many injuries, and every position was injured for an extended period of time. And it really took the steam out of the season. But what it did do, and we had talked about this, is expose the Sox for what their problems were. And the problems were the bad defense and bad base running, and they just didn't have that. And you know, saw Cleveland did everything the Sox couldn't do, and the Sox ended up
winning. Well, accountability comes in there, right? And if Miguel Cairo takes over the team in June, I happen to think that there was enough, and there were some games that Tony made some questionable calls. You know, off the top of my head, you know, maybe Miguel gets them 10 more wins. That would have made a difference in the division. Now, I'm not saying that they would turn into the Phillies. I'm not saying that they would go to the World Series. I'm just saying it would have made enough of a difference.
Potentially. Well, in the last week, and Al, in the last week, and Mark, you know this, last week of the season, you heard guys speaking the truth that, you know, that the clubhouse wasn't united and they stunk all year. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of implying that the lip service that was being paid earlier in the season, that everything was going to be all right and we're all in this thing together. It wasn't the case. Now, the Cleveland is the youngest roster in baseball, so that's a whole different dynamic. But they said they would go through a wall for Terry Francona. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier to sell that to a young group of guys who are trying to make a name in the league or in Major League Baseball versus a bunch of guys who are getting paid too much maybe and not bringing it every day. But, you know, the dynamic in Cleveland was certainly in stark contrast to what was going on the South Side.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend La Russa, but I don't know that it was all his fault. I just think the Sox, you know, their liabilities were exposed with all the injuries.
No, they were, and thank you, Al, for the call. But I do think that an intervention earlier in the year, however that would have went down, might have made the difference in 5 to 10 wins, and that would have been the what you needed to win the division.
He wasn't the only problem, but I mean, when he questioned Johnny Cueto, who questioned what was going on, you know, like, if we have any fight, we better bring it if we have any. And then Tony's like, well, you know, basically Johnny, you know, he's a veteran, he shouldn't be saying stuff like that. Someone had to say it. And then the last one,
right?
Season,
and that was just the tip of the iceberg of how that clubhouse. Yep. It just wasn't right. All right, one more call here. Paul in Valpo. Hey, Paul, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Great. I get the, you know, obviously with the Phillies about the go to the World Series, the, you know, the comparison. But, when you keep saying it may have made a difference, we'll never know, obviously.
Right.
But I think it goes back to this. The blame has been on La Russa from the beginning. This has been a 500 team since second half of last year. The players have underachieved. The previous caller, Al, had a great point. These guys were made out probably overrated to begin with because of the talent. You get your five Tool and Robert, and Eloy's going to hit Steve Stone. Eloy's going to hit 50 if he can stay healthy. Canfield, injury prone, whatever you want to call it. The players underachieved. I don't know if mixing the manager would have made a huge difference. Cairo's a perfect example. He comes in, he makes a difference. They go 14-6 or something. But no one gave him a lack discredited him for when they lost 8 in a row and completely blew themselves out of the playoffs. That didn't go against Cairo's record because Tony wasn't there. It was positive against Tony. Tony's gotten way too much blame in this. Han and the players really should get more blame. And I think moving forward, you know, you guys know that La Russa was undercut from the beginning. It's Tim Anderson's team, and Tony has to do what Tim Anderson wants. Those players got too high on themselves and never won a playoff game. They wanted to change the game. Instead of, like Steve Stone said, they should have changed the culture. The guy's got too cocky.
And
too
where
soon.
Does the culture come from?
The player. I mean, Tim Anderson was the one who was supposed to create the culture. Yeah. Tony came in and they said, he can't mess with Tim Anderson. He's got to have a private meeting with Tim Anderson. Because this is Tim Anderson. That's
Look,
exactly
I,
what they said.
Yeah,
this
I'm,
is Tim
I'm,
Anderson's
not, I'm not defending. I'm, thank you for the call, Paul. I am not defending Tim Anderson at all. No. I've been pretty vocal about maybe it's time to move on from him as long as we can capitalize on what he could bring in some kind of trade. But look, the culture starts, you've got to have the right person leading the clubhouse. That's what this discussion is about. I would agree that the White Sox they were underachievers. I would agree on that. But it does start with the manager. And the proof is what happened in Philadelphia. No, it's not the same team. No, we do not have a Bryce Harper or a Kyle Schwarber. But I'm telling you, I feel that Miguel Cairo earlier, that switch, or maybe a switch to somebody else, whoever, getting Tony out of there and leading a strong leader might have made a difference in 5 to 10 wins, and that would have been the difference in the division, especially if it were head-to-head wins.
Well, all those things can be true, and I believe are true. Tony wasn't the right guy. He wasn't the only problem by a long shot. I mean, you didn't have a 20 home run hitter in this entire clubhouse, and you had all the. Our caller's right. They've been 500 teams since the All Star break of last year. All those things can be true, but the easiest move you could have made, you couldn't rebuild the roster on the fly. You couldn't go find, and then Rick Hahn. should be guilty as charged when he did next to nothing at the trade deadline.
You're absolutely right. All are absolutely true, but that might have been the quickest path to buy you 5 to 10 wins.
It's the easiest move with no resistance except from the owner. I mean, it was the obvious move that wasn't made. And the other stuff, I'm with you. They could have at least won the division. I'm not saying they were going to go
far in the playoffs. Nobody's saying that this team would turn into the Phillies. That is not what we're saying.
No.
And we're just pointing to what happened there in Philadelphia and how it made a difference.
And the accountability on the players, self-accountability, leadership in the clubhouse, that falls on the players, but it falls on the manager. And it's all can be true, and I think it all is true. You had guys who are getting paid a lot of money to do next to nothing, and they got comfortable doing that. And all that, I mean, there's a whole list of wrong here, and it'd be interesting to see how much of it they can correct in this offseason.
Right. We're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to post up for you here on ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, well, the New York Post covers the world like only they can, and we read it so you don't have to. Over to Brian Hanley for a story from the New York Post you just need to know about. Brian?
Well, you know, I was going to bring to the table the why Kanye screamed at Charlemagne the God, who I don't know that, about Pete Davidson. Apparently Pete Davidson's big in the business because he kept screaming, my wife is bleeping someone with a 10-inch bleep. But I'm not doing that.
You're not going down there. You're not going down there.
No, so to speak. Reddit, I know you're a big Reddit guy, right? So this New York Post story. Yeah, I know you're on Reddit.
I stand at 6'3".
Reddit, which they listed 75 things annoying people say. And I guess, you know, if it's only 75, we'd be okay. And you can guess some of the obvious ones. Like, I don't mean to be rude, but... Now, no offense, and you know what's coming after that, right? Nothing but offense.
But here's some offense, yeah.
Yeah, and the newest ones, let's unpack this, and the variation
Oh, that's
is,
driven me nuts for like a couple years now.
The variation is there's a lot to unpack there.
Yes, I mean, and I would be watching some news program. Maybe I'd stumble on Anderson Cooper. He's like, let's unpack this. It's no, there's no luggage here. Stop with that.
In this business, you and I have heard this. Do you know who I am? Or don't you know who I am? I mean, you know, you're a D-list whatever, and you're trying to act like you're somebody. And that's a quick way to really get a bad name in any business. But, you know, there's so
especially if you scream that at a restaurant at the wait service.
Yeah. And try to pull that with a police officer and see how many tickets you end up getting. Right. Don't you know who I am? Yeah. You're the guy who's getting 3 citations now. And here's one that people, you're standing there waiting for a train or something, thinking about something. Someone says, why don't you smile? You should smile. I'm like,
That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm look, like, it's okay to have a resting, what do they call it? Resting bitch face. You know, it's okay to have that. You know, if you're just standing there with a non-expression, why do you have to be standing there smiling at nothing?
I've never heard some of these other ones. Like, here's one. I always keep it real, and a lot of people cannot handle the truth which I speak. Okay, that is just so...
If you have to say that...
Oh, my good Lord.
All right. You're too
and
much.
I did have a former boss who was, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. It's a win-win.
We all get stuck in that crap. I know.
Right.
That's come out of my mouth, too.
So next time you're on Reddit, you can see the other 60 or so
okay.
of them.
Okay, let me unpack this for you, Brian. Okay.
I see what you did there.
A TikToker, and this is according to the New York Post, claims in a series of viral videos that two men came to pick up from school a 5-year-old girl they both had been told was their daughter.
What?
Yeah. Sheena Jackson, who says she works at the front office of an undisclosed school, recounted in a series of videos, why she's videotaping this, I'm not sure, how the men have been both listed as the young girl's emergency contact, and they both arrived at the school at roughly the same time to take the child home. They both look at each other, according to Sheena, and said, why are you checking my child out? Who are you? And he was like, who are you? What do you mean? I'm her dad. Well... A fight broke out in the parking lot, and the mom showed up because there was only one real mom, and she had to straighten things out. So, if you ever go to pick up your kid, and guys, and there's another guy saying that that's their kid, It's probably not going to end well.
Well, I mean, either or both of them should be able to say one look and that's not my child. I mean, I'm a little confused.
It is a TikToker claiming, you know, I would like to believe that everything on the internet is true.
I mean,
but I'm not totally sure.
Did they just roll out a Jerry Springer show and You Are the Father? They just had the test. I mean,
Maury Povich thing. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Maury Povich. Yeah.
I mean, it all runs together, doesn't it?
I mean, you get to the school and that's not my kid. Why'd you call me? And the other one says, that's not my kid. And then the mom, you know.
Then the mom has to come and said,
that's not my kid either.
I listed three dads. Did they all? There was a priority dad and a backup dad and then an alternate dad. Did they? None of them showed up?
It
sounds messy. If that was real, it sounds awfully messy. And the mom's got a lot to explain. And the poor kid. If that's
things that most families don't go through.
Yeah.
Can I take that for
500, Brian?
Yeah.
Things that most families don't have to go through for 500.
Yeah, like when you know, your dad is listed or your mom's listed as the person to call when something unfortunately happens at school, that's usually who shows up.
That's preferred. That's preferred. All right, so we've got to wrap up these Twitter polls before we get out of here. Brian, you had a Bulls Twitter poll, right?
I did. Because it's only three games in, but there's trouble here in Bulls land. What's the biggest concern of your Chicago Bulls? The offense, the defense, health, or Patrick Williams, really get specific.
That's super
Jay Cantu?
Specific. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd the vote go down?
Leading the Bulls charge is Patrick Williams at 39.7%.
Wow, Brian, you had picked that.
And then right behind health. 33.2%.
See, I say health because that affects anybody. And obviously it's affecting Zach LaVine.
Where did offense and defense, just for curiosity's sake?
Defense was third at 18 and offense at 8%.
Wow.
They're averaging 104 points a game, and they're like the third fewest points on average in the league. And so, it's only 8%.
That just says that there's a lot wrong. All right. Bears' total number is set at 15.5 points for tomorrow's game against the Patriots. What is the bet, over or under? Jay Cantu?
I agree. Going under 62.5%.
Oh, see, I'm going to open up the FanDuel app and go over because I'm a contrarian. It better be over 15.5 points.
Yeah, I'm going over too.
After 10 days and self-scouting and
self-scouting
healthy.
And everybody's healthy and
always ride the under
the
for
world.
Me. Always ride always, the under.
Yeah. You worry about Dak Prescott today, okay, Mr. Poke Boy?
Yeah.
How about the
Cowboys? You got a lot to worry about over there. That's really
well,
weird.
Well, not really.
You do, but you don't. You don't want to think
Zach's our problem.
You don't want to think Dak is going to upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
Right? That's weird. That's just weird.
Well, we'll find out.
All right.
That's why they play the games.
Yep. Yeah. Wrapping things up, it's Xander and Hanley. Thank you for listening. Jake, thanks for all your work behind the scenes. And Brian, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you next Sunday, if not sooner. This is ESPN 1000. Enjoy your day.